Wonderful. Thank you, Peter, for your playing. We're about to open up the scriptures. Let's turn to our God in a prayer for illumination. We ask God to open up our hearts to hear his word. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. It's given to us by the power of your spirit. We have the scriptures, the inspired word of God. So we open it again tonight. We pray that you will open up our hearts so that we may understand your word. Use the tool of the spirit, the sword of the spirit, the weapon of the spirit, to pierce away sin, set us on fire so that we may serve you in all that we do and say. Bless your word, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture reading is from Exodus. Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. That's our passage for tonight on this Pentecost Sunday, page 116 in your Pew Bible. Exodus chapter 19. I'll read the passage. I'll say this is the word of the Lord, and the congregation responds saying, thanks be to God. At Mount Sinai, Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 to 8. In the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they had set out for Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession. And although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words the Lord had commanded him to speak. And the people all responded together, we will do everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word tonight. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one question to get this sermon going tonight. When was the very first Pentecost? When was it? You're going to say, well, that's pretty easy. It's right there in the book of Acts. It's Acts chapter 2. It's Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Sure, that's when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church for the very first time. If that's your answer is incorrect. You are wrong. That's not the very first Pentecost. And why do I say that? Because Pentecost is actually an Old Testament celebration. Pentecost. What does that word mean, anyways? It doesn't mean Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean outpouring or anything like that. No, what Pentecost literally means is 50th. It's a number. Pentecost is a number. It means 50th. Pentecost has the number 5 in it, like in a pentagon. A pentagon is something that has 5 sides to it. Well, Pentecost has the number 5 in it as well. Pentecost means 50th. Pentecost refers to the 50th day after Passover. In Old Testament times, you celebrated Passover, and then 50 days later, you celebrated Pentecost. There's a lot of richness to this Old Testament celebration. Pentecost was very much associated with the Old Testament harvest festivals, which was a big thing back then. Back then, you had the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Harvest. Pentecost itself was often referred to as the Day of First Fruits. which makes it an awful lot like our own Thanksgiving Day. As it was on the 50th day after Passover that the Israelites would gather to celebrate the blessings of the harvest. And the very first Pentecost was when Israel gathered at Mount Sinai to receive the law. Exodus 19, verse 1, our passage for tonight says, in the third month, after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. The mountain, that is, where they received the law. Our text, it mentions the third month. That's 7 weeks, according to the Jewish calendar. That's 50 days after Passover. So, two ideas are associated in Old Testament Pentecost. The first is the whole idea of harvest celebration. And the other is the whole idea of God giving his people the law at Mount Sinai. So you put these two pieces together. What is Pentecost about? Pentecost is about how God saved his people out of Egypt so that he might care for, provide for his people in the new land, all, so that they might walk in obedience to his law given to them at Mount Sinai. You caught that? Pentecost is about how God saved his people out of Egypt so that he might care for, provide for his people in the new land, all, so that they might walk in obedience to his law given to them at Mount Sinai. This was what Old Testament Pentecost was all about. In the New Testament now, of course, this all gets transformed, right? Everything gets transformed, correct? Passover, it gets transformed. In its original setting, Passover, was first celebrated when Israel was still in Egypt, right? Israel was in Egypt under Pharaoh and slavery. God commanded Pharaoh to set his people free, but Pharaoh didn't listen. So God sent the 10 plagues. The last plague, the plague of death, was to be preceded by the Passover celebration. Each Israelite family was to take a lamb. They were to kill it. They were to eat it and put its blood on the doorposts of their houses. The idea was when the angel of death would come to deliver the last plague, he would pass over all the houses that had the blood on the doorposts. It was to be through this Passover that the Israelites would finally be set free from the evil clutches of King Pharaoh. That's Passover in its original context. In the New Testament now, all of this gets transformed, right? It gets transformed in Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus Christ, he's the Lamb of God. He's the Passover Lamb who shed his blood for us. It's through his blood that God passes over us. And he sets us free. And not from Pharaoh, but from Satan himself and from the kingdom of darkness. We are set free so that we might enter the new Canaan, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's Passover transformed. 50 days later is Pentecost. On this Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out. Why? All so that we may truly praise our God for delivering us from sin and Satan, thank our God for his continual providential care for us in his kingdom, all so that we might better walk in obedience to his law. There you go. This then is what New Testament Pentecost is all about. We praise God for delivering us out of Egypt. We thank our God for his continual providential care for us in the new Canaan, all so that we may better walk in obedience to his law. This is how Old Testament Pentecost is fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ. All of this has implications then for us today. You know, some people are led to believe that with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we are set free from God's law. All of God's law. And such people, they have their proof texts. Doesn't Paul say in Galatians 5, verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law? Doesn't Paul say that? Well, yes, he does. But let's not misunderstand Paul here. Yes, we are set free from the Old Testament application or the Old Testament administration of the law meant for Israel back then. So it's true, no longer do we follow the smaller civil laws and the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. That stuff we are totally set free from now. But we're not set free from the basic moral laws of the universe. We're not set free from the Ten Commandments. No matter what age you live in, you're still not allowed to murder or steal or commit adultery or bear false witness or covet or worship idols. These laws are grounded in the very creation order of things, as are the most basic laws of the universe, which is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're not set free from that stuff. No, this stuff stays. This law always abides. God poured out his Holy Spirit so that we might begin to obey this stuff, this law. Pentecost happened so that we may better obey his law. You see, this was Israel's problem back then in the Old Testament. Israel didn't have what it takes to obey God's law. God gave them his law at Mount Sinai, but they didn't keep it at all. You know, it's interesting. In our passage, we read about the first Pentecost, right? I'll read portions of our passage again. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord said, "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you. And now if you obey me fully and you keep my covenant, then you will be my treasured possession." So Moses went back and summoned the elders of the people and set before them all the words of the law, all the words of the Lord. And the people responded together. That was what they said. The people responded together, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will do everything the Lord has said. We'll do it all." Congregation, did they? Did they do everything the Lord had said? Did they walk in his way? Did they obey his law? No, hardly at all. The entire Old Testament is one big litany of Israel's failure to obey the law. That's why they were punished again and again and again. That's why they landed up in exile in Babylon. They were too weak. They're spiritually weak. In Jeremiah 31, the Old Testament prophet spoke of a new day when God would take the law and write it not on stone tablets like he did at Mount Sinai, but on their hearts so that they might actually obey it, so that they might walk in it, so that they might live in obedience. Well, that's what happened at Pentecost. In Acts 2, God pours out his Holy Spirit so that we may truly thank God for his deliverance, praise him for his continual care for us in the kingdom, all so that we may truly walk in obedience to his law written right here. Here's the question then. Congregation, are we doing this? Is this us? Are we obeying his law? Are we walking in obedience? Are we? Are you? You know, this much can be said. If we are constantly biting each other and devouring each other, if we have no qualms breaking his commandments, if we worship our wealth and our houses and our money and our cars, if we keep no sense of Sabbath, if we hate, if we steal, if we let our lust control our sexuality, if we have no issues getting drunk and living in sin, then we have no clue. We have not the foggiest idea what Pentecost is really all about. Am I being maybe a bit too severe? Well, Paul is more strict. You know, I read from Galatians chapter 5 this morning as God's will for our lives. I'll read that Galatians 5 passage again. Paul says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. Free from Egypt, that is. Free from the kingdom of darkness. But don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Good warning for us all. In verse 19, Paul goes on to say, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, not only do you not have a clue what Pentecost is all about," Paul says, "those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Put differently, you are not a Christian at all. So here's the thing. Being saved from the kingdom of darkness, it does something to you. The Holy Spirit comes and he changes you. He changes your insides. He changes your character. He brings you more in line with his law so that you can bear fruit. And what's the fruit again? Paul lists them as well in Galatians 5, verse 22. It's love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that you? You know, some people like to emphasize the Holy Spirit. But what they like to talk about are those special gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given to some people. You know, the ability to do miracles and to speak in tongues and stuff like that. Those things are exceptional. But that's not really where the Bible puts the emphasis. Where's the emphasis? I'm reminded of the number one role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. What is it? What's the number one role of the Spirit? It's sanctification. Lord's Day 8 of the Heidelberg Catechism, the Catechism asks how the Apostles' Creed is divided. You know the Apostles' Creed, "I believe in God, the Father, Almighty Maker of Heaven, and Jesus Christ." You know the Apostles' Creed. How is the Apostles' Creed divided? It answers three parts. God the Father and our creation. God the Son and our deliverance. And God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. What's sanctification? Sanctification is just growing in holiness. You're becoming more holy. That's what the Holy Spirit wants of us. He wants us to be holy. Holiness is when we are set apart from sin. And we are set apart for service. And this is our service. To thank God for all of His blessings, His deliverance from Egypt, and His continual care for us in His kingdom, all so that we may walk in obedience to His law, letting our light shine so that people can see Jesus Christ living in us. Pentecost serves that. So it was in principle already at Sinai in Exodus chapter 19, and so it is for us on May 20 in the year of our Lord, 2018. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit. May we walk in obedience to His law, for His will for our lives, in service of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.